I confess to you, O Lord, that I have sinned. I confess to you, O Lord, all my sin within. I have failed to live for you in the things I say and do, and have fallen short of living in your
of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. For his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Lord,
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Holy God, through your Son, you have called us to live faithfully and act courageously. Keep us steadfast in your covenant of grace and teach us the wisdom that comes only through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives in you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Exodus. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for iniquity of parents, to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsively. Congregation, please read the bold print. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork. Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard.
Their sound has gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the world, where God has pitched a tent for the sun and the moon.
It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to desire are they than gold.
By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I caught a clip of a podcast earlier this week. It's called the Holy Post Podcast. Sky Jathani, who was telling a story back when he was a young editor of the magazine Christianity Today, he was at this ministry conference for pastors. And one of the sponsors of the conference was a publisher, and he was invited into a suite in a hotel. They're hosting people, their people are hobnobbing. He's talking to the executive about the speakers of the conference. Now, at that time, it was the height of the emerging church movement, right? If any of you are familiar with that. He asked the executive, "What do you think is going to happen to this emerging church thing? Does it have legs? What's it going to turn into?" And the executive takes a couple sips out of his drink and says, "The emerging church has 2 years, and then it will be over." Sky was baffled by this. He wondered how he could be so sure about it. And the executive said, "Because we created the emerging church, and our marketing plan runs out in 2 years." Now, Sky affirmed that the executive was right. He went on to share that all that they did was take young voices because they were cool and publish books made by them and turn them into a brand so that they could market at conferences, even though those various voices within the emerging church did not have any unifying theology, no shared perspective. They were just young, cool, hip pastors, and they branded them as emerging church. That's when it hit Sky that this was all concocted to sell products and then get spun into theological debates where there really isn't one. And now we hear in our gospel lesson today Jesus saying, "Stop making my Father's house into a marketplace." Yet for years, American Christians have been guilty of this repeatedly with the development of products, gimmicks, and programs with the promise of being the next best thing that will save the church and revitalize your congregation. And in our first lesson, we hear this commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." I think one of our many gods that we put before God has been this idolatry in the church of needing to have warm bodies in the pews, buildings sustained, maybe even churches being entertaining. Now, footnote, there's nothing completely wrong about buying books and programs. You ask anybody that served as church treasurer in my time here, I buy plenty of books. Right? But it's important to be critical and discerning. Asking if this is helping us to share the love of Jesus. And even more importantly, asking us when somebody is promising us this big next thing, this newish trend, who benefits from this? That's also a good question for us to ask in our discernment. This doesn't have to be a zero-sum game, but we should be aware of the realities of stories like Sky shared. That there is an industry within Christian ministry products that are about making money as the bottom line and not sharing the gospel. Now, why can this be? Well, I think the answer to that is St. Paul in our second lesson today. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. We proclaim Christ crucified. Well, I don't think proclaiming Christ crucified sells, right? That's not a good marketing plan. We proclaim Christ crucified. The stumbling block and foolishness of the cross. The gospel's not enough for many of us. So we want to sell other things in the marketplace and say that's the gospel. The reason why this is a dangerous direction to go in is because the mission and focus of ministry is not to serve parishioners, it's not to serve our neighbor, it's to satisfy customers. There's a huge difference there. If the cross is seen as a stumbling block to some and foolishness to others, and your mission now, whether you're overtly aware of it or not, is to satisfy customers that are sitting in your pews, what's going to get lost? What's going to get pushed aside? It's going to be the gospel. It's going to be the cross of Christ. Now, looking at our gospel lesson, Marilyn Salmon reminds us that even though all four gospels include this account of Jesus having a bit of a fit in the temple, right? There's some uniqueness to John. It's an incident with Jesus that for John's gospel occurs at the beginning of his ministry. It's the first of three pilgrimages to Jerusalem. And it's the second sign for John. John has signs, right? The first sign in John's gospel is the wedding at Cana, right? Where Jesus turns water into wine. But there's a contrast here between the first sign and the second sign. The first sign, it's a wedding. It's an intimate gathering. Family and friends are gathered around. This second sign at the temple, it's not intimate. This is public. It's in an urban environment. And the actions are political. The population of Jerusalem would grow at the time of Passover. And so there's serious needs for services and for people to have access to the temple sacrifice rites, sacrificial rites. Naturally, crowd control is going to be a concern, right? You want to make sure that there's no public disturbances or anything's going to get out of hand. So what's going to be increased? Presence of Roman troops, right? This makes common sense. That's the setting that Jesus has this fit in, right? Huge population, more security measures to keep people in control, and Jesus is doing this in the temple. He's whipping people out, driving animals out, flipping over the money, and dumps out the money and flips tables. Now, according to Salmon, the temple was a complex institution in the first century. Until its destruction in 70 AD. For Israel, the temple in Jerusalem was God's permanent dwelling place, a sign of covenantal promise of eternal presence. The sacrificial rites were administered here according to biblical law by priests descended from priestly lineage. Jews throughout the diaspora made pilgrimages at feast times. The temple was a potent symbol that bound Jews in a common identity. At the same time, the temple priest evoked resentment because of their inherited status, their connection to Roman authorities, and their distance from those who suffered under imperial powers. The temple priests were not in any sense religious leaders of the people, according to Salmon. And Salmon also points out that Roman officials appointed the chief priests, and they served their interests. The Roman coffers benefited from the marketplace that served the sacrificial rites. So the disruption that Jesus causes has political consequences. Why? Because it's not just a religious squabble. It's going to impact Rome's bottom line. It has an impact on their revenues. Now, when we fast forward to Jesus' trial, in John's gospel, there's objections from the chief priests in chapter 19 when Pilate mocks Jesus by calling him King of the Jews and tells the Jewish people the day of his crucifixion, "Here is your king." And Pilate asks the people, "Shall I crucify your king?" Do you remember what their response is? "We have no king but the emperor." What does it say in our first lesson? "You shall have no other gods before me." So in our day, we succumb to ministry being a marketplace of products in which we're buying and selling and competing for warm bodies, and our mission to try to be relevant in the culture as opposed to ministering to it. But a gospel not preached and proclaimed just to keep customers happy is not the gospel. The gospel set aside, if we agree to be silent, rather than holding those in power accountable so that we can enjoy being relevant and having our own power in society, like the priests in the Roman rule, that is not the gospel. There's a real challenge of every generation, and we see it very distinctly right now, to not worship the things that we love. Right? We can love things, but we don't want to worship things. I love my family. I love my country. But I don't want to worship these things. And we can see how dangerous it is when we worship these things. When the emperor and the empire or our country become our God. When trying to be relevant and loved and like become our God that we're chasing. We lose the gospel. The cross is a stumbling block to some and a foolishness to others. When the marketplace and political power become our gods, the gods we put before God, then we live in a world where everything has a price. And to be fair, we're accustomed to that in daily life. We put a price on everything, and we do seek to earn our place with others. But what happens if we have to pay God? We're in trouble, right? So in many ways, the marketplace is just all that we know. Which is why the cross is legitimately a stumbling block to some and a foolishness to others. But beloved children of God, the good news is that Jesus has raised up a new home for us. In Christ, we are a new creation. And by Christ's love poured out for us on the cross, Jesus gives us something. Grace, mercy, forgiveness, eternal life. There's no more buying or selling. And so we're coming to church. It's not a building, right? And I think in our common language, the way we speak, we often say that I'm going to church today, right? And it reinforces the idea it's a building. It's not, right? It's people. This is a house. This is God's house for the church. I do it myself. I don't do it wonderfully, but at times when I just need to come over to do something, I try to say I'm going to the office, right? I'm not going to church, right? We're in a church now with you people because you are the church. We are the church together. We're gathering as church as what? It's the body of Christ. Joined to Christ, raised to new life. This is not a marketplace. This is God's house, and we are not customers. That's good news. We're God's children. And the gospel can never be sold, can only be freely shared. So let us be fools for Christ, proclaiming Christ crucified, and rejoicing in the wisdom of God's foolishness and the strength of God's weakness. For it is by Christ that we are made new. It is through Christ that we have forgiveness and where life and love has no end. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Oh. let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, our only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, and he ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the church, the well-being of creation, and a world in need. You are alone, God. You are alone, our God. We thank you for the gift of the Sabbath rest. Awaken the church to the mystery of your presence and give us glad hearts as we receive the good news of your deliverance. Hear us, O God. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Michael, our presiding bishop pro tem, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God. You renew creation. Protect rainforests and mountaintops, oceans and wilderness areas from exploitation. Unite nations, policymakers, and businesses in great efforts to reduce carbon emissions. Hear us, O God. You judge the nations. We pray for an end to war and strife in every land. Strengthen international efforts to negotiate peace and provide humanitarian aid to people fleeing from conflict. Hear us, O God. You bring healing and hope. We give thanks for physicians, nurses, researchers, therapists, and public health workers who prevent and treat illness. We pray for any who are sick, especially Charlie, Justin, Susie, Scott, Connie, John, Joellen, Dan, Eileen, Pat, Dixon, Brent, Debbie, Paul, Candace, Cheryl, Dave, Chip, Theodore, and family, Julie, Owen, Bill, Jim, and our homebound. Hear us, O God. You abide with your people. Sustain any in this community undergoing life transitions, marriage, divorce, childbirth, adoption, moving, graduation, employment, change, or a death in the family. We pray for those preparing for baptism. Hear us, O God. You bring life from death. We remember our loved ones who have died, confident that they have new life in you. May we trust that nothing can separate us from your love. Hear us, O God.
Comfort us on our journey, God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these, your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
You are holy, you are whole, you are always evermore than we ever understand. You are always at hand. Blessed are you coming near. Blessed are you coming here to your church in wine and bread, raised from soil, raised from dead. You are holy, you are whole, you are present,
understand.
Let
you
the cosmos praise you, Lord. Sing Hosanna,
blessed are you coming here to your church in wine and bread, raised from Zelda, raised from death.
You are holy, you are whole, you are whole,
you are
blessed are you coming here, in the
coming
here, sing Hosanna,
raise Hosanna to our God.
You are holy, you are whole, you are whole and evermore,
can we ever understand. You are always at hand. Blessed are you coming here. Blessed are you coming here. See your church in line of bread. Raised from sin, raised from death. You are holy. You are wholeness. You are present. Let the cosmos praise you, Lord, sing Hosanna in the highest. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to our God.
Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. Distribution of the sacrament today will be continuous by method of intinction, where you'll receive a consecrated host and dip it into the chalice of either consecrated wine or grape juice. Grape juice will be offered on the lectern side, and so but we'll have two stations of the wine. The reason why we're doing continuous intinction in the midst of this, because you've been kneeling all Lent, like what's going on? We received a chalice that belonged to the old church, and our church anniversary is March 6th. So we decided to use it close to our church anniversary. So this is a chalice that belonged. We found it in someone's estate, and they gave it back to us. So it was great. So we're using it this Sunday. And so at this time, the communion assistants that are going to help distribute, those participating in Children's Church can come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you.
Come broken hearted, let rescue.
Thank you.
Please rise. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Invite the choir to come forward.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Bringing communion to the homebound. Gracious God, loving all your family with a mother's tender care, as you sent the angel to feed Elijah with heavenly bread, assist those who set forth to share your word and sacrament with those who are homebound. In your love and care, nourish and strengthen those who will receive this sacrament, and give us all the comfort of your abiding presence, through the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Announcements for the good of the community.
I have a sign-up sheet here that is going to be posted on the bulletin board. Coming up is the spring festival, the spring gathering of our welcome. It will be at Good Hope. Please note that it is April the 13th on a Saturday. It's a Saturday morning, inspired by the fact that we're approaching spring and the seeds, and it's going to be talking about the seeds and plants of the Bible. And there will be plants that are going to be given out. And we would hope that you would find a time in your schedule to come and share that time with us. It goes from 9 o'clock in the morning until probably about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So you'll have your afternoon free. Please join us for that day. It'll be on the bulletin board. Thank you.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us.
St. John Lutheran Church with Paul is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, sent into the community to share the love of Jesus.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.